Good evening, saints.
Good evening.
What a joy, what a pleasure to once again be gathered together tonight, to be able to study another portion of our God's Word, to be able to sing praises and with the understanding to give back of our time and of our blessings that He has given us, and always doing it with a diligent heart seeking after our God. If you are visiting us, thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you for your presence. Know that when you are here with us, you do indeed encourage us and it motivates us. We thank you for choosing here at the Southeast Church of Christ, giving us that vote of confidence that we here are indeed true worshipers as our God's Word teaches us to be. If you will, please open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, we will be taking our thoughts from Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verses 3 through 6. The Bible reads, Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. Will you please bow with me in prayer? Our most gracious and heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. It is with great reverence, O God, that we bow before thee through this avenue of prayer. Having sung praises to Thee, having remembered the death of Your Son, having, Father, given back a small portion of the many blessings that You give us. And Father, now as we sit at Thy feet to listen to Thy word through the lips of this Thy servant, Father, we strive, Lord, to be true worshipers who worship Thee, not only with Thy truth, but also, Father, with the understanding of a grateful and rejoiceful spirit. Father, we thank you for the blessings that we have, and as we now strive to understand another portion of thy word, please be with this thy servant. What I've been able to meditate, what I've been able to study and prepare, Father, allow me now to be able to share it in a manner that is concise, and in a manner, Father, that when examined with thy word, will indeed prove to come from thee and not from me. But Father, most of all, grant me the boldness and the humility, the meekness to put into practice, Father, the words that I've been able to learn from thy word, so that my life and that my example may shine brightly before men through my godly conduct, so that your name, Father, may be praised, and so that you as our God may always be glorified. Father, once more, thank you. Grant us the strength so that we may focus, so that we may concentrate, so that we, Father, can put on hold those woes of this life, that we may put on hold those thoughts pertaining to this world, so that we, Father, can move our eyesight and look, Father, above the sun to thee, and that we can focus on thee and on thy holy word. We pray this not because we are worthy, but we do it in the glorious and mighty name of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we spoke about the fact that Philip revealed the Redeemer to the Ethiopian eunuch. We were able to see thoroughly with Scripture how Philip, as he taught this Ethiopian eunuch, according to Acts chapter 8, verse 35, Jesus, that what he taught him in that ride as they walked or they drove on his chariot from Gaza toward where he was going, Philip used the scripture from Isaiah 53 to teach him about the purpose, the promises, and the precepts of Jesus. Now we've seen, if you will, the one conveying the message. We've seen the lessons that he imparted to the Ethiopian eunuch. But tonight I would like for you and I, as we are reading here in Psalm 24, to now, as our title implies, or rather directly suggests, to examine the honest heart. You see, the Ethiopian eunuch gives us an example of what the good soil that Jesus talks about in the parable of the sower. We see that the heart of the Ethiopian eunuch was a heart that was receptive and open to the Word of God. You see, as we continue to learn about paradigms of salvation, it is important that we do not forget that one of the crucial and vital things that we must do when we are speaking to someone about Jesus, when we are teaching them about the gospel, or when we are bringing any portion of God's bread of life to them, we must know our audience. We must understand the field with which we are working. Especially if we are hopeful that the seed will actually be able to germinate properly and that it will be able to spring forth deep roots. You see, when we read here in Psalm 24, notice the question that our God is asking through His inspired psalmist. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? Brethren, the answer is found there in verse 4 where it tells us, He who has clean hands and a pure heart. If you are a diligent student of the Bible, this should remind you of the words found there in the letter written to the Hebrews, where it says that without holiness, we will not see God. We must be of pure hands. We must be of clean hands. And this is why it's important that we examine this, because those of us who are now Christians, those of us who are faithful Christians who have grown and continue to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we were the Ethiopian eunuch at one time. We were Saul of Tarsus at one time. We were Cornelius, the Roman legionnaire at one time. You see, in chapters 8, 9, and 10 of Acts, we see three beautiful conversion stories in different methods with different speakers, but always the same common denominator. There was always an honest heart present. There was always a heart that was seeking to do what was sincere. Of course, with the Ethiopian eunuch and with Cornelius, it seems to be easier to see that. But the question always becomes, well, wait a minute, how could Saul of Tarsus be of a pure heart? This man was persecuting the church. This man was breathing threatenings against the church. Well, remember that Paul explains to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that he did it with a mind thinking that he was indeed serving God. He was doing it because he had not fully understood, just like the Ethiopian eunuch had not understood, just like Cornelius had not understood. If you pay attention to these three men, the three of them were trying to please God, but they were doing it without understanding. Which brings us to our first point. An honest heart will diligently seek after God. An honest heart will diligently seek after God. Go with me to the first book of Chronicles. In the first book of Chronicles, chapter 28, pay close attention to what David tells his son Solomon. Here David is, if you will, giving his final instructions to the now elect king. As David is preparing to die, notice what David instructs his son, especially in regards to his relationship with God. We'll begin there at verse 8, going into verse 9. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve Him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever. Pay attention to the fact that David begins by instructing Solomon the importance that following or seeking God is the same as seeking His commandments. To find God, we must look at His royal portraiture, that is the Bible. If you know, you know, and if you don't, well, you should have read the article. But notice that as we read this, and notice as we study this, how David is using the interchangeable terms. To diligently seek God means to search for Him in His inspired Word. It means to search in the commandments that He has given. When we think about this, of course, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 should come into our mind. For without faith, it is impossible, pay attention, to please God. You see, our faith comes from the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 as well. Our faith comes from the Word of God. But the purpose of that faith is so that it can develop, so that it can lead us in our search for our God. When we do this, pay attention to the right attitude and the mindset that distinguishes the honest heart from the dishonest heart. If you will, the Saul of Tarsus versus the young rich ruler that went and encountered Jesus. In verse 9, notice once more, Solomon is instructed by his father, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind." Here is what it means to diligently search for God. You are searching God with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. You see, Saul of Tarsus was persecuting the church because in his mind, the law of Moses was still in effect. And because of this, what he was doing is that he was upholding the law of Moses by trying to stamp out the false religion that was known as heresy by his own judgment. For this reason, Jesus of Nazareth appears to him. And Jesus of Nazareth is the one who reveals to him, "Why are you persecuting me?" In his service to God, he was diligently seeking God. He was serving God with a loyal heart. It was without understanding. You pay attention to what Romans chapter 10 verses 1 through 4 says, Paul without a doubt is able to understand what his brethren in the house of Israel were doing because he used to be one of them. He used to have a zeal for God without knowledge. The Ethiopian eunuch admitted this. "Well, how can I understand if there is no one here to teach me?" Cornelius was praying for guidance, for the angel tells him, "The Lord God has heard your prayer and sent for Simon. He will tell you what you have to do." There was a loyal heart there. There was a loyal heart in each of these case studies. And an honest heart is one that is diligently seeking in Scripture, but it does so with loyalty, with faithfulness. Not trying to gain something like the young rich ruler. "Rabbi, what must I do in order to obtain eternal life?" In that passage, in that pericope of Scripture, as Jesus continues the conversation with this young man, it is revealed to us that the only reason he wanted eternal life was because he wanted to continue the pleasures of this world. He was no different than Koheleth in the book of Ecclesiastes, at least in the first two chapters. He was trying to find eternal joy here in this temporary world. That is a disloyal heart. That is a dishonest heart because it is not a heart that is willing to give God what he owes. It is a heart that wants to give God lip service so that in return I can obtain something. A willing mind, says the inspired king. You must seek out God with a loyal heart and a willing mind. You see, what you are going to discover if you are honestly searching the Scriptures is that there are thoughts and opinions that you may hold, let me rephrase that, that you do hold, that are going to be manifested as wrong. Saul of Tarsus realized that he was wrong in his persecution. The Ethiopian eunuch realized that he was going to Jerusalem to worship in an outdated system. Cornelius realized that salvation was not solely in giving alms to the poor, but it needed more than just that. So pay attention to the fact that a willing mind is a mind that is ready to accept what God's will is. It is a mind that will not resist the Word of God, or as we saw this morning in our study, like James chapter 1 verse 19 teaches us, it is a mind that because verse 17 and verse 18 knows that God is good, knows that there is no variation in God, will then be ready to hear before we even speak or rage. Wrath is the word against God. So an honest heart, brethren, that is displayed by the Ethiopian eunuch there in Acts chapter 8, we see that he was diligently seeking. He was seeking because he was trying to do God's will honestly. But in that, his mind was inquisitively asking, who does the prophet speak of? You know, there is a very great probability, and I'm speculating here by the way, that he had already heard lessons about this by the rabbis. Remember that the Jews of that time, they denied that Isaiah 53 was a messianic prophecy. They did not accept nor say that it was talking about their Messiah, because they would not accept that their warrior king could be defeated. Therefore, the fact that this Ethiopian eunuch, who was there very likely as a Jew, was still asking the question, well, this is not a prophecy, who is it speaking about? That's a willing mind. That's a willing mind. A mind that is not necessarily accepting what the religious teachers of his time are claiming the passage says, but a mind that is honestly and diligently asking because they want to follow God and God alone. So as we continue, we see then that the first thing that an honest heart displays to us is a mind, or it displays to us, an honest heart is displayed by a diligent search for God, a heart that diligently seeks after God. By the way, we mentioned the first half of Hebrews 11:6. The last part of the verse tells us that God is a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. So pay attention to the fact, the first half of the verse has to do with those who don't search at all. They do not please God. But God rewards those who do search Him, and they don't just search Him lukewarmly, they diligently search Him. A loyal heart and a willing mind. That's what that means. But the second thing we see with the Ethiopian eunuch, believe it or not, in our first point, we segue into our second point, the willing mind portion of the scripture that we just read. This reveals that an honest heart is a heart that is docile before God. It is a heart that is docile before God. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Notice what we read here in chapter 3, verse 5 and forward. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Remember, we mentioned that an honest heart diligently seeks after God. And what it means to diligently seek God, it means to, number one, search in His scriptures, but number two, with a loyal heart and a willing mind. We already mentioned that a willing mind is a mind that is ready to accept whatever God's word reveals, even if it debunks what I believed or held as true. Well, this is what we see in the Ethiopian eunuch. The question that he asked reveals that he did not know the answer. He truly did not understand what he was reading. Tell me, I pray you, who is the prophet speaking of? Is he speaking of himself? Or is he speaking of some other? Pay attention to the fact that Philip was able to use that because this man was openly admitting, I do not understand. Philip started by asking him, do you understand what you have read? That Ethiopian eunuch was so sincere. He was so genuine and so meek and humble that even though he was a man of a great social status, that even though he was a man that wielded great power because of his position in his kingdom, he did not deem it as shameful to admit ignorance to the man who asked him. Not only did he admit ignorance, but he also admitted, I need help. How can I? Lest there be someone who teaches me. Do not trust, or do not lean, says the Bible, in your own understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. We have to be docile. We have to be meek. We have to be the willing clay in the molding hands of our Father God. The Ethiopian eunuch, Saul of Tarsus, and Cornelius were three different types of clay. But eventually, each one of them were able to be molded by God Himself into an instrument for His church. Pay attention to the three facts there, the three types of case studies we see there. In the case of Cornelius, we see the very first Gentile that opens the gate for us, the Gentiles. In the case of the Ethiopian eunuch, there is a possibility, and there is a strong possibility, that it was through him that God brought the gospel to the region of Ethiopia. For the Bible says that he went his way rejoicing greatly. But then we see that there is Saul of Tarsus who would become the apostle to the Gentiles. That by the grace of God, he says, I have been found worthy, I have been found approved. I have been made a minister and an apostle to the Gentiles, he tells Timothy. They were molded by God. But because they eventually stopped resisting God and surrendered over to His will. It was a docile heart. For the Ethiopian eunuch, he stopped leaning on what the teachers had taught there while he was in Jerusalem. He stopped leaning on what perhaps he had been taught in his land of Ethiopia. He had stopped leaning on the traditions of his fathers. He had stopped leaning on what, however X number of years he had spent as a Jew, he stopped leaning on their teachings and what he thought was real. Instead, notice that he was now leaning on the Word of God. He was now leaning on not only the Word of God, but he was trusting that the man that had asked him, "Do you understand what you read?" would be able to accurately explain to him what it was that he was searching. And on his heart, a good soil, a good fertile soil, will always display meekness, will always display a genuine desire to give their entire being over to the hands of God. They will not resist God. They would not necessarily go against God. No matter how much it may be, how difficult it may be, and no matter how hard the sayings may be, eventually, they will come to the realization, it is after all God who asks for my heart. And who better than He who gave it to me in the first place? You see, we're not talking about an immediate response. We're not talking about an immediate change of heart. In the case of Paul, who is or was Saul of Tarsus, there is no doubt that there took some time for him to process and to accept what he had just been told. Paul himself admits in one of his admissions to one of the kings, as he's presenting his defense, that Ananias had to ask him, "Why do you tarry? Why do you wait? Our Lord has revealed to you. The God of our fathers has revealed to you. So why do you wait? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins." You see, Saul didn't immediately obey. But he was no longer resisting. He was no longer fighting against God. He, if you will, was trying to process all of this that he had just heard. He was still trying to make sense of all of this. And upon that as well, he was dealing with his guilt. He was dealing with the acceptance and the realization of the fact, I killed innocent people. I'm the villain of this story. I'm not the defender of God's will. So when we read this, brethren, when we see those three cases, what we see is that an honest heart is a heart that is docile. It is a heart that is meek, a heart that is humble, a heart that will allow God as the potter to mold it into the tool or the utensil that He desires us to be. You see, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, the same Saul of Tarsus who is now goes by Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles, makes it clear to us all, by inspiration, that we are nothing more than the earthen vessels. And as the earthen vessels, our duty is to carry the glory of God so that He may be magnified. So that His power may be the one that shines through us. But it is not about us. Because God's power in us doesn't stop making us earthen vessels. When we accept this with a meek and honest heart, this will transfer, or excuse me, should transfer over. Let me rephrase that. We're talking about the honest heart, right? The pure heart of Psalm 24. It will transition into our Christianity. Because we then will add to our faith virtue. And from our virtue we will add knowledge. And from our knowledge we will add temperance or self-control. From self-control, brotherly love. And eventually we will add agape love. We will give in to the will of God, and we will allow God's word to transform us, said the Apostle Paul, from glory to glory. We, brethren, will no longer live our own lives as we desire, but we now will live our lives in service of God. That is the fertile soil where the seed brings forth great fruit. Because from the very beginning, we were diligently searching for God, and when we find Him, we are docile and ready to serve Him in whatever way He wants us to serve Him. So as we see this, brethren, we were able to see how the Ethiopian eunuch and Saul of Tarsus and Cornelius, they shared these traits, proving why they were the honest heart, proving why they were fertile soil. But you see, I quoted earlier a passage and I alluded to it. If you will now turn there with me to Acts. Now I want you and I to go to Acts. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. And here, as a way of a context, Paul is defending himself before Agrippa. It is in chapter 22 where Paul reveals to Festus, I believe, that he, Ananias, had told him, why do you tarry? Now notice as he recounts for the third time, beginning there at verse 15. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand in your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now pay attention, verse 19. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. The honest heart will not be disobedient to God's commandment. The honest heart will not harden its heart before God's commandment. In Hebrews chapter 3, we read how the book of Psalms is quoted yet again. Therefore, it is written, says the Hebrews writer, if you hear today his voice, do not harden your heart. Notice how here, Saul of Tarsus, who is now going by Paul, how when he heard from Jesus, he asked the question, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Notice there the loyalty. He calls him Lord. Notice there the docility. He is willing to accept and hear the answer. But notice now the obedience. Notice how once he understood, once he received his understanding, and once Ananias prompts him and gives him that little push to be obedient, pay attention to the fact that in verse 19, Paul doesn't say, I immediately obeyed. No, he says, I was not disobedient. I obeyed. Not only did I obey by being baptized and wash away my sins, but I obeyed in every aspect of the way by going into Judea, by going into Damascus, by bringing Jesus to them, and by now being the one who once persecuted was now the one being persecuted, and now he was being persecuted because he was preaching the same gospel he once had rejected. I now go and tell all men that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. He taught, he made disciples, and then he taught them to observe all things that God had commanded. Excuse me, all things that Christ had commanded. Here in those three words, those three phrases, what Paul just said, he was keeping the Great Commission, folks. He was teaching the gospel, he was baptizing, and he was teaching Christians to grow. Paul says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Remember how we began our lesson tonight? A loyal heart and a willing mind. We've entitled our lesson, and the honest heart. This means that it is a genuine heart that is trying to do what is right. It is a genuine heart that will receive God's word and will run with it. It is the genuine heart that is actually trying to be loyal and faithful to God. And it begins with a diligent search done with honesty and sincerity. Because that should continue on even once we have obeyed the gospel. We should continue to search for God diligently. We should continue to learn what the will of God is so that we can be obedient to it until death. We must not become complacent with what we've learned. We must not grow comfortable in this world that we know is not our home. We must understand that it is our duty to always serve our God until the day that we are reunited with Him, if we are faithful until the very end. This means then that my honest heart shows me I can always grow and I can always improve. There is always something in which I must be obedient to God, and there is always something that I must be ready to do in service of His kingdom. Speak, for your servant hears you. Those were Samuel's words as instructed by Eli. Those should be the words of every Christian who indeed has still and who is still in possession of the honest heart. It is not about me, it is about thee. Not my will, but your will, O Father, was the prayer of the Master. Thus, as we see in the Ethiopian eunuch, the moment he saw water, he was not disobedient to the vision, the heavenly vision. He was not disobedient to God's command. You know, I love the example of the Ethiopian eunuch because of the fact that Philip laid the groundwork to where the Ethiopian eunuch taught himself through scripture, and all he did was be the point man by pointing out what he needed to know and what he needed to do. Now again, Philip pointed out the purpose of Jesus, the promise of Jesus, and the precepts of Jesus. Notice when you put that with the honest heart, what it produces. When these three elements are heard by him or her who is diligently searching God with an honest and willful heart. By him or her who is willing to submit and surrender the life over to God. And by him or her who will not be disobedient to the command. The product is joy that is unspeakable. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8 very quickly. Acts chapter 8. Verse 38 through 40, notice, just like Saul of Tarsus, just like Cornelius, notice how the Ethiopian eunuch also was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. Now when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. When you take an evangelist who teaches the entire or the whole counsel of God, you take that man who sows that entire seed into fertile soil, into the heart that is honest. The honesty and the sincerity of wanting to be faithful to God, shown in a diligent search, shown in a docile, meek demeanor, and shown in a readiness to be obedient. When you put those together, the result is joy. True, pure joy. The result is the peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace that is only possible from the God of peace himself. You see, the Ethiopian eunuch was the one who saw the water. We mentioned this morning that he asked. It almost shows like he was ready and he was diligent and wanted to know. He asked there in verse 36, "What hinders me from being baptized? Philip, I want these promises. Philip, I now understand who Isaiah is talking about. Philip, I understand his precepts. What else do I need to know before I can do this?" He was ready. He was convinced. And he did not want to delay. If you believe with all of your heart, you well can. Verse 38. He stopped the chariot. He descended with Philip after confessing, "I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God." He stopped the chariot, he descended, and he went into the waters with Philip. And he was baptized for the remission of his sins. This is what the honest heart will produce. The honest heart that receives the word of God will produce joy and peace that surpasses all understanding. Perhaps you are among us tonight. You have been here before. I see some familiar faces from some of you that have visited us. And again, thank you. Your presence and your return is very encouraging, particularly to this humble servant. But the fact that you're here again shows the presence of a possible honest heart. A heart that is diligently seeking. And yes, perhaps some truths that you have heard, perhaps some truths that you've gone to research for yourself, which by the way, you need to do. Do not believe me. I am a man. But if what I'm teaching is in line and in sync with God's word, it's coming from God and not from man. Surrender yourself over to God. Let God be the potter with you, the clay. And let him transform you into a utensil of honor in his house. Perhaps what you need is to admit that, like the Ethiopian eunuch, you still don't understand. And thus you are encouraged by God's word tonight. Like the Ethiopian eunuch, there is no shame in asking for help. There is no shame with you saying, "How can I, lest someone teach me?" Perhaps what you need right now is not necessarily baptism, but you need to be shown more accurately the way. We are ready to study with you together. We are ready to break open God's word and let you see for yourself in Scripture the purpose, the promise, and the precepts of Christ. And when you do understand, if your heart is truly sincere and honest before God, you will not be disobedient to the heavenly vision. You see, in the case of Paul, it was literal. Today, the heavenly vision has been revealed to us in the inspired word of God. But it still comes from heaven. And it still reveals the will of God. So, tonight, if you know what you have to do, and if you believe with all of your heart, indeed, that Christ's blood is powerful enough to wash away your sins, like Ananias and Sapphira, I ask you tonight, why do you tarry? Why do you wait? If you are ready to be obedient to the heavenly vision tonight, we lovingly encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing our hymn of invitation.